As we deal this morning with the sixth of our values as a church, authentic community and relational health, we're going to hear a story this morning, and you've read about it in the bulletin, and you know, this is a story that is a little sensitive, it's a little tough to hear, and so we are giving our 8 o'clock kids a special opportunity to go off with Caitlin and have their time, and this is a good time. If you're going with the kids, this is a good time to go. And certainly appropriate for older children to hear. But we're going to invite Tammy Sue Willie to come and really bring a testimony, a story of hope, a story of healing, a story of God's grace. So Tammy, welcome.
I am the oldest of three, and I'm going to give you the best short version I can. I show the photos because one might ask, what does abuse look like? Photos do not always reflect the truth, but the truth frees me to reflect his light. I know people come from situations far worse than mine, but I also know it does not minimize my experience. I share not to compete for war stories, but to identify with the similarities of the war. For better or for worse, the comfort and sickness of my family culture shapes me as the wall of family photos hides my untold story. My parents married at church by my dad's wishes. I was dedicated as a baby. Age 3 began Sunday school. I was baptized when I was 13, went to youth group, went to Christian summer camp, learned John 3:16 at VBS, sang in the choir, and attended church through high school years. Mom made a career at church for 17 years as a Sunday school teacher, superintendent, deaconess, church secretary, pastoral committee, women's circle, and held Bible studies in our home. When I was 5, Dad was mad, so up went the dinner table. Chair tilting backwards, I held on to keep from falling on the floor into our dinner and broken glass from the milk bottle. Elementary school, my sister and I got beat with his belt if we came home with wet pants. Bare-bottom beatings introduced shame. In addition to the tension, my 3-month-old sister died on moving day. As I picked her up to carry her to Mom, she was different colors and not moving. No one ever talked to me about finding her. I was 7. If I could not finish a meal, more food was always added to my plate. At age 8, Dad made me eat all the onions that were left in the family salad bowl. Age 9, Dad told me I looked fat when I wanted to be his princess. By age 12, after dinner, I was scraping plates into the garbage. My dad said, "Get your bone out of the garbage and finish eating your dinner." I thought he was kidding. I was wrong. He grabbed the back of my neck and dragged my body across the kitchen table, shoving my head into the garbage, demanding me to find my bone. With my head held in the garbage, I looked for anything with meat. In a state of survival, I learned to be an obedient child and eat everything on my plate. Now I was called the family garbage disposal, and now I always felt fat. Phones were ripped off walls, dinner tables thrown upside down. We were made to smoke a cigarette, personal belongings broken. I was verbally attacked, shoved, hit, thrown, and beat with his hands or belt. By age 12, I ran away from home, only to be returned by a friend's well-intentioned mother who said, "Just talk to him, dear, he will understand." Other than a church directory photo with Dad, we were at church while he drank and gambled in the back room of pubs. By my teenage years, Dad's drinking and anger and temper tore up our house physically and verbally. He took the aluminum door off its hinge because it had a dent, and because no one knew where it came from, he threw it at me after he carried it upstairs to my bedroom. One day, he grabbed my feet, dragged me down the stairs, then continued dragging me by my hair through the house while my mom stood there and did nothing. Twice, he threw our family out of the house for days on end. Age 15, I ran away for 3 months. My father's message was, "Life is tough out there, and my job is to toughen you up." And Mom always said that he loved me and I was the apple of his eye. But then she would also say I must have deserved what I got. I was afraid of the dark. I jumped to my bed so nothing could grab me. I slept with my back against the wall, and I flinched every time someone raised a hand. It wasn't until I met my husband that he said, "Why are you flinching?" So it wasn't until my 30s that I stopped doing that. I had youthful optimism but hated family life and was emotionally checked out. I attended church but every day held my breath and walked on fearful eggshells. My church upbringing did not help me grasp, honor your parents, love and trust God like your father, and have a relationship with Jesus. Quoting scripture, like God gives us what we can handle, did not help me understand my situation. Dad's dying words to his three kids were, "You are all stupid and no good." My relationship with Dad shaped my relationship with God. When something went wrong, I assumed that God was punishing me. But healing began, and this is a very short version, when I learned that forgiveness did not mean condoning the abuse. And when I started forgiving my mother for her absence. And when I realized what was fat was the lie of my childhood, not me. And healing continues as I realize I cannot reclaim my lost childhood, but I can certainly embrace my future. And healing continues when I forgive my wound one layer at a time through my new relationship in Jesus Christ. And for a very fresh example, and I can tell you I did not plan this, recently I received a gift for closure. My dad, who has been dead 20 years, I obtained his ashes in July. It's a whole other story. And we just buried him yesterday, my sister and I, and my family. And I'd like to close with a poem that I wrote many years ago, and I titled it Rootless. Too many times I move, neighborhoods and friends are few. With each crack of the belt, every smack of the hand, our family ties torn, my spirit broken. My family separated by miles, separated by values. My own womb is barren. I know not why. I feel rootless. I wait for God to grab me, to throw me in the dirt, to plant me. Maybe he's waiting for me to dig in the dirt, to sow, but how? I'm confused. I have no one to carry on my name. Many years ago I pray, break my family cycle, no more abuse or fear or pain. Still my womb is childless. I ponder my thoughts, I cry, I pray, more tears fall. Another year of seasons changed. This time a sprout or two or more break through the hard ground, which I am. Now, only now, through God's grace, do I see my own heart needed healing. Years of bad dirt need years of good soil. Now my I grow. I had waited for God to throw me in the dirt. No, I was waiting for my dad to throw me. Now my I grow. My prayer was answered, the family cycle broken. God, my father, not my dad, has gently placed me in his soil. I'm starting to feel rooted. Now my I grow.
You. morning. I'm going to try and read this. Thank you, Tammy, for your wonderful testimony. The reading today is Philippians 2, 1 to 4. Verses 1 to 4 can be found on page 1162. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others.